Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
How about it? We are back right here on Sports Grid. This is the Early Line. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside with you on a Thursday, making it happen. DRS, how you feeling?
Excited. NFL action tonight. Field of Dreams tonight. A lot of hot topics going around. We're ready to go. 2 hours right here on the grid. Sign me up.
Certainly a lot of good stuff for us to get to. We did get an answer, though, involving Deshaun Watson. No, not the length of the suspension, though maybe that clock is starting to tick a little bit faster. But that Deshaun Watson will play in the preseason for the Cleveland Browns and will start their game against the Jacksonville Jaguars unless we get an update to his suspension status between now and when that preseason game gets underway.
Yes, and if you want to say the bat phone is ringing in the NFL offices, you got that right, saying that news coming out. Will they let that stand? But also, Kevin, we talked about it yesterday. Hey, Cleveland Browns, you're going to play Deshaun Watson in your first preseason game? I don't know. We're not sure of that. That means absolutely yes. Just like I told you, they were planning to play him in week one of the preseason. Here we go.
We'll talk about that decision and how that might impact the NFL's process. Speaking of decisions and processes and whatever the New England Patriots think is the New England Patriots way, it might not be working. Concerns out of camp, usually where it's a lot of positivity, certainly from Boston reporters, not so much in New England. The Pats' offensive struggles are apparently reaching a concerning level with Mac Jones and this offense looking for big-time regression based on what people are seeing.
Yeah, so you take a look at Matt Patricia. I said, word on the street, Kevin, live from Patriots camp. Mac Jones was actually blitzing the defense on a few plays here. So a newfound respect for Matt Patricia, looking at things a little bit differently, making the offense go defense here. Good stuff out there, Bill Belichick. No titles, man. No titles on anybody around there.
Well, while that's going on, they're apparently considering trading Damian Harris because, again, that's the Patriot way. Another training camp report is Justin Jefferson has been unstoppable. The report said in every way imaginable, name the route, name the play, everything is Justin Jefferson. Goes to show, Donnie, why, despite what Cooper Kupp did last year, the favorite to lead the NFL in receiving yards this season is Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, and he's a really good football player, but here in the streets, mean streets, I should say, of Philadelphia, Jalen Reagor's holding his own here, K-Dub. A little even balance there. One guy dominant, one guy trying to hang on to a roster spot. Congratulations, Minnesota. You won that big time. This guy is sensational, and he's going to have a big season again this year.
I try and forget about that. Justin Jefferson has 1,350.5 as his season-long number for receiving yards. We'll take a look at those as they come in. We'll also take a look at another fresh new Kevin Durant update. This is a good one here. I think this is one that maybe gets DRS a little excited to see. Mutual interest between Kevin Durant and the Philadelphia 76ers. KD apparently thinks that Philly could be a legitimate landing spot for him, would probably approve a potential deal. And apparently high-ranking members of the Sixers front office are interested in engaging in trade discussions with the Brooklyn Nets.
Now, me being a Sixers fan doesn't come into this, but just word on the street, me making contacts behind the scenes, it looks like this is the most legitimate report we've had all offseason where KD wants the Sixers, and I believe it. Make it happen.
My goodness, man. Nothing can ever be taken serious. I mean, we are four headlines in. I don't know if you've taken a single one serious. Radio audience is here on a Thursday morning. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside, the early line, SiriusXM, channel 159. We'll circle back as the 76ers right now do sit at 15-1 to win the NBA championship. We'll see if those odds get on the move. How about a big night of Major League Baseball involving the NL Cy Young favorite going down to those Philadelphia Phillies? The Phils put Sandy's ERA actually above a 2 for what feels like the first time in a long time. Alcantara stood out, had himself a solid game, just under 8 innings pitched. But the Phillies get the job done 4-3.
How about this one? You want to the headline here? The Phillies turn Alcantara back into Alcantara last night, K-Dub. Huge win. Mm. He was dealing through 7 innings, and they finally got to him. The sign of a baseball team that's finally rising up, Kevin, beating the teams they're supposed to beat. And even the best pitcher in the National League went down to those fighting Phillies last night. Watch out for the Phillies.
Yeah, Phils are absolutely hot. Another team that is hot with 10 wins in a row. The Los Angeles Dodgers, 8-5, they beat the Minnesota Twins, lifted up by a 3-run pinch hit, Joey Gallo home run.
There you go. Pepio was a superstar last night, K-Dub. It doesn't matter who you start on the mound for the Dodgers. That's the next great pitcher in Major League Baseball. Why? Because your offense scores close to 10 runs every night. Sign me up to be a Dodgers pitcher. I'll win some games out there.
My guy, Pepois, was out there. Now, didn't do enough for the win. David Price actually entered the win column from yesterday's game. Last baseball headline is a reminder that you probably need. Is that today is the Field of Dreams game. You probably needed that reminder because it's going to be the Chicago Cubs against the Cincinnati Reds.
Fired up 8 home runs last year, K-Dub. Hopefully we get 8 hits in this game tonight.
Yeah, do you think we can get a boost around this game? I'm seeing $5 Field of Dingers. We might have some work to do at the Field of Dreams game. Let's get involved with the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Preseason football today in the NFL. A pair of Thursday games. We'll get to those in hour number two because it all starts actually with a Friday game with a major update, one that we were waiting on. It involved the status of Deshaun Watson, who will play for the Cleveland Browns unless we hear any change to his status in terms of the suspension, which we'll hit on as well. Deshaun Watson is in and the line is flipped. Jacksonville, a 1.5-point favorite. Now Cleveland, a 1.5-point favorite. Total for this one is 37.5. There are so many directions we can go at this, but I think the appropriate starting point is, what do you think about the decision by the Browns to play Watson in this game?
I mean, let's talk from a football perspective. Forget about, you know, the outside of what's going on. He needs to play. He's been out of football for over 1.5 years at this point. Live snaps are of the utmost importance. You can have all your controlled environments, Kevin, in practice and 7-on-7s and team periods in the red zone and, you know, 10-10-10 practices, but that doesn't simulate a true game scenario, which is what he needs. So it didn't surprise me at all, and we talked about it yesterday on the show. Hey, they're thinking about playing this guy. What do you think? Well, I just based on what they said, we'll see what happens here. It's an away game. You'd have already made your mind up. Say, no, he's not even going to take the trip down to Jacksonville, so he's not playing. They weren't just going to bring him down, Kevin, to be in a meeting room and walk around on the field to watch his rest of his teammates get live snaps. I thought he was going to play. The decision is right. The football decision is right for him to play on Friday night.
I guess so, but again, how long is he going to be out there, Donnie? That's kind of my thing, right? And this will tie into the lines. If he's going to go out there and play a series.
Yeah, correct.
You think he's going to be out there for a quarter of football?
at least three series. Like, you're going to send him – because it's a great question you bring up, because we're expecting him to be suspended. He knows he's going to be suspended. We don't know the length of time. So you're right. He goes out there for three plays and then takes the towel and the helmet off and the shoulder pads off. That's not happening.
Like, he's not that's not a guy you put out there to show face on the road. Like, that's not a thing you do, right? Like, if you're making this decision – you honestly believe it is the best move for your football team, and you want to get Watson a couple of reps. How many that is? Now, we've seen this before, right? First drive, 5 for 5, 50 yards and a touchdown. Yeah, he's out. They're not throwing him back out there again. They're going to just kind of leave with that and hope it's, you know, not a statement to the, like, the suspension status, but more so this guy is still going to be a great quarterback in this league. So I guess that does suggest that Watson will play a bit. I still feel like I would have wanted to wait until week two. You're at home. Let's see what the NFL's ruling is. But I guess this maybe gives us a little insight into the Browns' minds that they actually believe these are very valuable reps for Watson. Whether he is suspended for 6 games or 10 games, and maybe even if it is the full season, they want to get him out there up against other NFL players that are allowed to sack him, right? Like just all that physicality that can come from an NFL game. So if that's the case, do you agree with what is a 3-point overall move here in a preseason football game from 1.5 Jacksonville's way to 1.5 Cleveland's way? Is Watson worth 3 points to a spread on a normal basis? Sure. A preseason game?
Yeah, and let's also remember the Jacksonville Jaguars have already played a preseason game. So they got their dress rehearsal out of the way, where primarily the starters didn't play. And you saw Doug Peterson say, yeah, our starters are going to get some time in this game, including Trevor Lawrence. So whenever that lines up, instead of looking at a side, you look right to the total. And we saw the opening night, Kevin, of what that game with the Jacksonville Jaguars played the Las Vegas Raiders, 29.5, bumped up to 30.5. Now you're seeing a full touchdown higher. Why? Because you're going to get more time for the starters, where you might actually get a touchdown or two in the first quarter while the starters are playing at this point. But if you're asking me the question, this is the hardest part about being a handicapper. If we're entering into week one of the season, Kevin, and I know who the quarterbacks are going to be, we weren't sure if Deshaun Watson was going to play or not play. He plays. Sure, that's going to be a big move to that line. But if we are going to get, hey, Deshaun Watson is playing in this game, 2 drives totaling 9 plays, 13 yards and a punt, what did you actually get out of that line move here? Because if we're watching this game where the Cleveland Browns say he's not going to play this year, so we might as well get at least a full quarter to 2 quarters out of him, that's going to be a big deal. But we haven't heard that information just yet. Usually when you say your starter is going to play in a preseason game, you're expecting a maximum of a quarter. And in the first game, probably a maximum of 2 drives, it feels like.
The thing for me with the Jags is they obviously did not look very good in that initial preseason game, but they're going to bring Trevor Lawrence into the fold there, and that can change things a bit. We see this 37.5. Now, the secondary storyline, maybe the primary storyline here, kind of depends on how it plays out, I guess, is does this push the NFL's timeline up? Because this announcement did come with the caveat that if there is a change in Watson's suspension status, he is going to play, unless there is that change. So I do feel like the NFL has a little more than 24 hours. I guess if you think about when we kind of found this news out, the NFL has probably, what, 48 hours to make a decision here on Deshaun Watson? Because I would think that maybe the NFL wants to control whether or not Watson is going to be out there in the mix during this preseason.
I do believe that, because do you think, because like we're trying to line this up and what makes sense. And I joked about, you know, the bat phones are ringing there in the NFL office saying this can't happen here because this is an embarrassment on the league. Where are all eyes going to focus this weekend, Kevin, in the preseason? Your teams that you're a fan of? Sure. But the national spotlight's going to be in Jacksonville when Deshaun Watson takes that field, the reaction from the crowd and all, you know, including print writers that are into sports and not into sports are going to be reporting on this. So if the NFL wants to get ahead of it, now they know that he's going to be the starter, they should be acting either today or tomorrow before kickoff. Because if the Cleveland Browns, Kevin, said, you know what, it's game one of the preseason, we don't play our starters, Deshaun Watson will not play tomorrow, we're going to go ahead with Jacoby Brissett, Joshua Dobbs, or, you know, Josh Rosen primarily, I think the NFL would have got a little bit more breathing room here to say, okay, we're not going to have him on the field, it's not going to be that big of a spectacle. But the simple fact that the Cleveland Browns said, yes, he's going to start, it was almost like a shot across the bow where Cleveland's like just daring the NFL to do something each and every way. Hey, what do you think? Sit this one out, first preseason game, give the NFL another week? No, he's starting. We're going to force their hand. I wouldn't be surprised if we got a decision today. It would be shocking, Kevin, right? Decision comes down at like 6 o'clock tomorrow night, an hour before the game, and he's already ready. I almost expect this decision, Kevin, to come down today. I really do.
And maybe that's why the Browns decided to start him, is to try and push the NFL here, because they want a ruling. They want a decision made, because they need to know how long Watson is going to be unavailable for. And throughout this process, I've been hard on Watson, rightfully so. But hard on the Cleveland Browns, rightfully so. If anybody out there is bothered by Watson being able to play in the preseason, that's on the NFL. That is entirely the NFL's fault. For a ridiculously long process, waiting for a Judge Robinson decision that they immediately went, I don't even know why we let her make that decision. We got to shift this immediately because 6 games is an absolute joke and we need to move this all around. They, Donnie, have had so long. Because this is information that they, now not to the entire degree, but now he's already missed a year of football because of all of this. The very bizarre okay to sit out from Houston. If he's out there tomorrow night, that's the NFL's fault.
Yeah, up to 100% it's the NFL's fault. And they deserve all the negative highlights and, you know, paper stories and viral stories and videos that come out against them, because they know this will be an embarrassment to their league if he does play tomorrow night, still with so much on the line. Like, would they really let him go out there on a Friday night, take the PR hit for the NFL, and then Monday morning announce an indefinite suspension at that point? It just doesn't make sense here. The timeline is now set and put in place. It should happen quickly.
Time will tell. We'll be right back. More Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sticking with some NFL headlines for us to follow, and I think the New England Patriots are really kind of hitting a breaking point, it seems, in training camp. Certainly, we have been fascinated on this show by the idea that Matt Patricia is their offensive coordinator, even though they won't name him their offensive coordinator, and all that can come with that. I've been really interested and surprised that they haven't really wanted to post Mac Jones season-long numbers, as if there is a piece of information that they're waiting on. And maybe there is. And that piece of information is, are the Pats screwed, for lack of a better term, because Matt Patricia is going to be running their offense? Reports out of Patriots training camp is that things are getting concerning. Nobody can block. Nobody's open. Running backs don't look good. And the quarterback is a bit of a mess in Mac Jones right now. Donnie, for this show, this isn't all that surprising, because the way the Patriots are doing things is ridiculous.
What are you telling me? Moving on from Josh McDaniel, where he goes out to the Las Vegas Raiders as a true offensive coordinator, gets a head coaching job, and you replace him with a defensive coordinator and a failed NFL coach in Matt Patricia, and it's not working out in camp. This is a new age in the NFL also, Kevin, where you're not on the field as much as you used to be in the past. Your OTAs have turned into basically just, you know, T-shirt, shorts, and 1 hour in the field, or else the NFL is going to come down and penalize you for practicing these guys too hard. So you figure all those times they had behind the scenes, in the room together, going over film, and we were led to believe the leaks out of Patriot camp, like, man, you know what? I sat in with Coach Patricia. This is amazing. like a defensive coordinator coaching offense. He knows how to exploit that defense. What are you kidding me here? It looks like an abject disaster up in New England. And also, Kevin, you talk about it. Here's the word I like to use. The maturation process of a young quarterback. How about him having a legitimate offensive coordinator last year to try to make strides in his NFL career? And when you come in year one to year two, sometimes you do get a new coordinator, but never in my wildest dreams would I believe that, you know what, for Mac Jones to take the next level step here, let's bring in a defensive coordinator to call the plays. And I love the fact, which I'm never going to let this get away for the Patriots until they admit wrong here, about we don't like titles around here. Now, obviously, outside of the title of winning the Super Bowl, you've always had an offensive coordinator. You've always had a defensive coordinator. You've always had a head coach, Bill Belichick, which was you, which you're called the head coach. Now, all of a sudden, where you probably saw early on, boy, this might be a little bit of a bumpy road here. Hey, coach, who is your offensive coordinator? I don't think I've ever named one in my career. Coach, 25 years been with the Patriots. Every year you've had an offensive coordinator. Yeah, but we really weren't big on that. We never walked around and said, who's the offensive coordinator? It's not a surprise at all. And I'm actually relishing the fact right now that the New England Patriots look like a disaster, because you're supposed to look like a disaster when you name a defensive coordinator your offensive coordinator.
The thing for the Patriots, when you look at some of their season-long numbers, is a team that's 5-1 to win the division. That's because the Bills are a very strong favorite at over minus 200. They are plus 160 to make the playoffs, though. And a win total of 8.5. This is a football team last year that was able to get hot and get themselves into the postseason. Finish it up overall with a 10-7 record. If you look at these first 8 games here for the New England Patriots, it's for the taking. At Miami, at Pittsburgh, the Miami line is short. With Pittsburgh, you already know how that breakdown goes. Mitchell Trubisky against Bill Belichick sounds like a nightmare. They're home against the Ravens. The Ravens are, I think, going to be pretty good, but you're at least home for that football game. A trip to Green Bay should be tough. Then you're going to play the Detroit Lions at home. We know they'll be favored in that football game. You play the Browns week 6, so you're guaranteed not going to be seeing Deshaun Watson. And how about the Chicago Bears at home and at the New York Jets? I'm looking at a schedule here, Donnie, where they're going to be favored in 6 of these first 8 games, possibly. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be 6-2, but this is a team that if they can figure out the offensive side of the football, which again the reports suggest are a complete nightmare, they might be able to get themselves back to the postseason.
You know what? It's a sound point you're making here, because as we talk about the preseason struggles that the Patriots are having, and they are warranted here, the schedule isn't that bad till after the bye week. So I can see it right now. The Patriots fan base, the national press, man, you guys doubted this. You doubted the move with Matt Patricia. They're way above 500 when they're coming into the bye. Yeah. This is quintessential Bill Belichick. Now, let's rewind the tapes here at the Sports Grid Network, where we were doing a radio show last year where the highest praise in the world for Bill Belichick. What an amazing game plan. He told his quarterback he doesn't trust him, doesn't think he's very good on the road as a divisional opponent, and if his quarterback throws more than 5 times, they'll lose the football game. What a genius. And we sat here and told you it was the dumbest game plan you ever had, and it just basically realizing that your quarterback can't win football games and maybe was a mistake that you picked him as a draft pick here. Now, it sounds kind of harsh, but let's move forward to this year where you play up until that bye week. Then you get the Jets out of the bye, maybe another win. But look at the back part of the schedule. Vikings, Bills, Cardinals, Raiders, Bengals, Dolphins, and Bills again, where they will crash and burn late. Because can't you picture it here? A windy scenario here Thursday, December 1st against the Buffalo Bills, where you're playing them. Or how about this one? A home game. Christmas Eve, playing the Cincinnati Bengals in windy conditions. Bill Belichick going to do one of those, watch this, let's throw 4 times and try to win 13-9 in a ball game here. I can't wait to see how it plays out, because you're right. It looks like no matter what happens, the Patriots should be able to make it through the first half of the schedule unscathed. Not unbeaten, but with a decent record. And then the bottom falls out in the late part of the second half of this season. I can't wait to watch it play out, because the mindsets are going to change so much from now. Like, you doubted Bill Belichick. He's a genius, too. Well, what did you want him to do? You know, his team's not that good. Come on now. Stop.
Again, the thing is, I think there's a chance they put themselves behind the eight ball with everything that they've got going on with Matt Patricia. I think part of the reason the FanDuel Sportsbook doesn't want to post season-long Mac Jones numbers is If you had to guess what Matt Patricia thinks a good offensive game plan is, it's probably handing the football off, what, 50 times a game, right? And not letting Matt, like, he watched that Buffalo Bills game and had no idea it was windy conditions. He's like, now that's football. Only threw it three times. That's what I like to see. But here's the thing, DR. So let's just say they do take advantage of those opening eight games. And it's a 6-2 team. I know that's lofty. You trust Belichick then to be able to cross the finish line, right? I mean, we're talking about a win total 8.5. He'll grab you three more wins, no matter how difficult that schedule might be. And if you go 10-7, you're in the playoff hunt. That got the New England Patriots in the playoffs last year. This is why the Pats are such an interesting group. Because as much as I think Belichick does things in a bizarre way that gets some undeserved praise, and I think this Matt Patricia thing is a complete and utter nightmare, you look at a schedule and you say, wait, he's going to play Trubisky, Zach Wilson, Jared Goff, Justin Fields. Yeah, he's going to dominate those teams. Because we've seen that from Bill Belichick there. So I feel like I'm somewhat caught between a rock and a hard place here. I guess, though, and we'll talk about the Pats inside hour number two, they've got a preseason game tonight. Might have to watch this one a little bit closer than anticipated. This gives us enough time to bring up Justin Jefferson here. Look, what am I going to ask? Hey, Don, do you think Justin Jefferson is fantastic? Yes, segment over. We know he's fantastic. But how good will Justin Jefferson be this year? The reports out of camp are that he is, at the moment, completely unguardable right now in every single setup. Every play, every route, everything is crisp, perfection, and these defensive players are hopeless against Justin Jefferson going into his third season in the NFL. This guy is favored to lead the league in receiving yards, despite the fact that Cooper Kupp last year dominated the sport. You would think that he would be able, he being Cooper Kupp, would be able to at least kind of as an incumbent hold on to that status. That's how high the expectations for Justin Jefferson are. 1,350.5 receiving yards for a season-long total, 8.5 for a season-long number in terms of receiving touchdowns. What do you think of those numbers on Justin Jefferson coming into this year?
I can't fault anybody for just saying, you know what, that is a lofty number. A lot has to go right for you to hit that number, including being on the field, Kevin, for 17 weeks. And I understand that. But when you look at the immense talent that Justin Jefferson has, rookie year, Kevin, 1,400 yards. Sophomore season, let's see if he could do that. Yeah, he did it again. 1,616 yards, including 10 touchdowns. It seems like he's wide open all the time, and he's the perfect wide receiver because even if you want to look at the LSU boys, right, you see Ja'Marr Chase. These are some of the few guys in the NFL that it doesn't surprise you when, again, the red zone breaks into your Sunday afternoon programming when the Vikings are on their own 25-yard line, the ball's in the air. Yep, that's Justin Jefferson, 75-yard touchdown right here. When you can get those chunk plays out of athletes, it streams it right up there when you can get that 100-yard week, 125, 175-yard week, which is not a surprise that he's going to do that. I can't take the under on Justin Jefferson knowing that Kirk Cousins loves to throw the football up in the air to this kid, deep, short, intermediate, everywhere. Justin Jefferson is a steal. He should be able to dominate. And also, how about this, Kevin? You brought up the point already. He's played 2 years. He's going to play year three. What's the money on the table here coming up for Justin Jefferson, huh? What is that money going to be? We talk about selling advertising to pay for Joe Burrow. Yeah, good luck on Justin Jefferson here.
And I'm, by the way, sure that Justin Jefferson is aware of that, though. Because, again, we know that, listen, like, you know, quarterbacks coming asking for their money early. Trust me, Justin Jefferson will be like, now what's the word here, huh? Like, it's time to make right here. And they will. They will in Minnesota. I was looking around. I'm like, can I play devil's advocate here in any way? I'm like, oh, maybe Thielen missed half the year. Thielen played 15 games in 2020, the rookie season, and 13 games last year. By the way, if Thielen plays 12 games, the Vikings will probably be happy with that. Justin Jefferson is going to have a monster season with health provided in Minnesota. We go to Major League Baseball next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you on Sports Grid, taking a look at some of the big results from Major League Baseball last night. We've got some win streaks brewing, including one for the New York Mets right now, who are playing some great baseball, handling their business again against the Cincinnati Reds. We preview this game, early baseball. DRS said, look for runs, specifically from the Mets. They had 5 runs through 2 innings, 10 overall as they win this game 10-2. This team stays hot. Francisco Lindor with another pair of RBI. It's just a team, DRS, with a 6-game win streak that is starting to maybe play their best baseball at a really good time.
Yeah, it is, and this team's going to be pretty devastating down the stretch as well, because if that starting front line pitching continues to stay healthy, they're going to be tough to beat. Forget about just like on a night-to-night basis, series to series, looking at sweeps, looking at picking up for the first 2 games of a 3-game set and having no pressure in the third game to pull off yet another sweep. And also, take a look at the run differential now, Kevin. A plus 127, 8-2 in their last 10 games, 6-game win streak here, 38-18 at home. This is what we kind of expected here. For the New York Mets, if you run them up against competition that isn't as good as them, they are pounding away and destroying these baseball teams, and rightfully so.
The interesting thing for the Mets, who have now moved down to plus 450 on the FanDuel Sportsbook to win the World Series, so continuing to create that gap between the Mets and then what I think is tier 2 in terms of World Series contenders, is this upcoming schedule. They're going to play the Phillies for 3 at home, 4 in Atlanta, 4 in Philly, then they finish off that Subway Series in the Bronx. It's a tough schedule. But we're going to talk about the Phillies and how good of baseball they're playing. The Phillies get to be welcomed by Scherzer and then DeGrom in the first 2 games of that series. So the Phillies are going to enter, Donnie, a series up against the New York Mets. We'll see if they win today. But potentially on a very, very legitimate win streak now, and they're going to be plus 180, because it's going to be a game in Citi Field against Scherzer and DeGrom. This is what I've been talking about here. This is when we talk about the scariest team in baseball. You could be playing fantastic, and the next thing you know, your opponent is better than minus 200 against you, because potentially they're throwing consecutively the 2 best pitchers in the sport.
Correct, and that's always the issue. But you brought up a good point here, Kevin. When you go and face Max Scherzer or Jacob DeGrom and you're a minus 200, which means you're getting a nice plus money number here on the Philadelphia Phillies, at least it's not from a plus 180 to a plus 280, because you have Bailey Falter on the mound and you're just saying, go ahead and beat us like a drum in this game. You get a guy like Noah Syndergaard, who yesterday wasn't great, but enough to keep you in ball games with a chance to win. Definitely. That's all you're asking for. So at least when they do play the New York Mets now, you're not rolling out a bullpen start, which is basically de facto giving a baseball game away.
They usually like to do that at least once a series. Like, if we score 10, sweet, but this is your game. They beat Sandy Alcantara yesterday. They've won 7 in a row. You know, I feel like when we talk about the National League futures markets, right, we know the Dodgers are at the top. We knew the Mets were right there. Okay, how are the Braves moving? The Padres add Soto, the 2 NL Central teams and the Cardinals and the Brewers. And then there's the Phils. Kind of that stopgap there. The Phils are 18-1 in the National League pennant market. The next team is the Giants at 150-1. So clearly for the FanDuel Sportsbook, they've started to chop down who is legit in this race and who is not. 7-game win streak right now. If you look at the wild card setup here, the Phils don't have a crazy amount of distance between the Padres or the Milwaukee Brewers. The Brewers are up 2 games on. They are in the thick of things, though. Should we be talking more about the Phillies at a 18-1 number in the NL pennant?
I mean, it's not a bad look here, and usually I'm the ultimate hater of the Philadelphia Phillies because stuff like they used to do in the past, right? Not beat the teams they're supposed to beat and throw Bailey Falter out there every 5th day and say, what did you want us to do? I don't know. Maybe have a decent pitcher that you can bring up and actually have a quality start as opposed to just handing a loss over. But also, you're talking about getting Bryce Harper back probably in the next few weeks, which should help fuel the fire. Now, granted, he has the elbow injury, which is kind of interesting for Bryce Harper. And my goodness, are the Phillies lucky that the DH is permanent in the National League. Otherwise, he would be done for the season already because he can't play right field because of something wrong with an impingement in his elbow where he can't throw the baseball. But just looking forward, you're right. Moving down the stretch, we only talk about the playoffs. And you say, well, you still got to go through August and September. But really, your baseball team is only as strong, Kevin, as what? Your 1-2 pitcher once you get to the playoffs. Aaron Nolan, Zach Wheeler, very good 1-2 punch here. This isn't isn't just saying, hey, wonder what we can get out of Ranger Suarez in the two spot here as a pitcher on the team, or a Kyle Gibson who's having an okay year. You have two guys that can raise the level of their performances to match other teams' aces. The Phillies, if they make the playoffs, they're not going to be an afterthought, because again, if you can have Nola and also Zach Wheeler right out of the gate, that's not a bad combination. It really isn't.
No, it's not. And that's the thing. Also, the expectation is the Phillies will either find themselves maybe against a divisional opponent in the Atlanta Braves, or maybe they're back in the sixth spot and they're playing the winner of the NL Central. The Cardinals and the Brewers both went into the win column yesterday. St. Louis remains the favorite right now at minus 160 to Milwaukee's plus 120. It's such a shift for me to see the Cardinals as a minus money favorite in the NL Central, because typically, if anybody asks me for a take as it pertained to the odds market within the Central, it's very easy. Well, you bet the Cardinals because the Brewers are always overvalued. Now, minus 160 with a one-game lead, is that overvalued? I'm not so sure. I think they're factoring in strength of schedule, but do you right now feel like the Cardinals are the better baseball team than the Milwaukee Brewers and deserve of that minus 160 price on that merit?
I think it is correct, because if you're looking for the Brewers, their starting pitching is better than the St. Louis Cardinals, but giving away Hader at the deadline sort of evened up that bullpen a little bit. And if we're taking a look at the daily 1-9 at the plate, it's not even close. Like, the better lineup by far is with the St. Louis Cardinals. So with them having a one-game lead, I do agree that they should be the favorite. But it's also an interesting division when you try to break it down in the Central, because there's no pressure coming from any teams behind. Like, even though the Phillies are 10 games back from the New York Mets, they're still a good baseball team where if you go into a spin of a 1-9 over 10 games, which I'm saying the Mets are going to do it, the Phillies can pick up a lot of games. You have a 16-game cushion from the Cubs on down with the Pirates and the Reds to try to chase them. So they're not even looking at wild card spots, right, Kevin? They got to worry about one team every single day outside of themselves, and that's either watching the St. Louis Cardinals or the Brewers, depending on which team you're rooting on that day. The pressure is going to be interesting as it ratchets up, but they look at it as a one-on-one. How did they do? Did they win? We won. Good. We picked up a game. How did the Phillies, Mets, Braves, or anybody else in the National League do? They don't care about that. But I do agree. For me, the Cardinals are the better overall baseball team than the Brewers.
I as well. But that schedule, I definitely think, is being factored in. If you look, because you, I think it's a really good point. We talk about the back end of the NL Central. These teams, the Cardinals and the Brewers, are going to play 7 more games. 5 of them are in St. Louis, which is relevant. But here is the other thing. Strength of schedule based on win percentage remaining. The Brewers have the 11th hardest schedule, which is not crazy. They're going to play the Reds, Pirates, and Cubs 16 times. The Cardinals have the 2nd easiest schedule in baseball. Donnie, getting to play the Reds, Cubs, and Pirates a combined 25 times. 25 times. And you know they're going to be favored in every one of those 25. Most likely they're favored in all 25 of those baseball games there. That is the big thing for St. Louis right now. Strength of schedule, I do think, is being factored in when you look inside that futures market. The Mariners took another one off the Yankees yesterday. It was a game that involved an Aaron Judge home run. I feel like the takeaway for me with another Seattle Mariners victory against the Yankees and another series victory for the Mariners against the Yankees is not about the Yanks. And I promise you, I'm not trying to push aside Yanks losses. They're not playing good baseball. But Donnie, this Mariners team that had a slow start to the season, they had the fantastic win streak going into the deadline. We know the Astros beat them up a little bit, but this is a team that is just continuing to put the appropriate results up on the board. They've got, and look at this next slate of games here. 3 versus Texas, 3 versus the Angels, 3 versus Oakland, and 2 versus Washington. They are going to be favored in all of those baseball games, unless they possibly run into a Shohei Ohtani start. This is a Mariners team that certainly feels legit when we talk about AL contenders.
Yeah, nice comeback, too, yesterday against the Yankees. You have that Higashioka home run. Hey, it looks like the Yankees probably going to pull this one out. Not the case here as the Mariners go 4-3. And maybe this is one of those teams that does get hot at the right time. You added a nice quality pitcher there at the deadline from the Cincinnati Reds in Luis Castillo, and you match him up with Robbie Ray. We talk about getting to the playoffs. That's a nice 1-2 punch. And also, I always like to use this angle, Kevin. We're all human beings out here. If the Mariners had lost 11 straight to the Yankees heading into the playoffs, that's going to factor in. And if Luis Castillo went into the Bronx in that first game where they matched up, where he came over to the Mariners, and hey, man, he only lasted 3 innings, Kevin, 7 earned runs. He's going to have nightmares when he goes back to the Bronx. That's not the case here. And this does matter. When these two teams, if they do line up in the playoffs, the Mariners aren't going to be the team that say, we're just happy to be here, and the Yankees are so much better because they pulverized us during the regular season. That's not the case. This is a very good hitting lineup in a pitcher's ballpark, and if they get performances like close wins too, Kevin, this isn't one of those where, hey, just got away from the Yankees, 11-3, didn't take it seriously for the 7th, 8th, and 9th innings. That's back-to-back games where you had a 1-0 shutout of the Yankees in 13 innings and then allowed them to only get 3 runs in the following game. Mariners are pitching and getting some timely hitting. This could be a good baseball team coming down the stretch.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Though the Yankees really need to start to figure some things out. Maybe they can get right against the Boston Red Sox. 3 in Boston. Seems playing really bad baseball again. They are the worst team in the American League East. That's not a take. That's a fact. There's 5 games between the Boston Red Sox and the Baltimore Orioles. It's just unimaginable to me. They're the only team in the division with a negative run differential here. My takeaway, though, on Boston, Donnie, because they're not in the playoff race, is not about, oh, could they catch fire? None of that. We know that this is a team that oddly's not super interested in spending at a high level. We think they're going to pay Devers and Bogarts, but what we're seeing with this baseball team is there's a lot more that has to be done than just paying Devers and Bogarts. The pitching staff is horrendous. Chris Sale with an unfortunate bike accident that, you know, has him out for the rest of this season. Who knows if Chris Sale's ever the same again? Nathan Eovaldi's never going to be the guy that flashed for them once that postseason. He's not a number one. And Nick Pavetta's not a number two. And Rich Hill's not a number four. Nobody is appropriately slotted here. I say that to say this. They can pay Bogarts and pay Devers. They still have a lot of work to do if the Red Sox want to get back to contending baseball.
Yeah, some of these big money market teams you can lean on, Kevin, right? So you have a $25, $30 million a year pitcher. Now, Chris Sale was supposed to be that guy with that massive extension in 2020, but we look at him as throwing a pitch and breaking a rib, you know, working out and falling off his bike. Doesn't seem like he's ever going to come back to prominence from the Chris Sale that we were used to seeing. So you are correct. You're going to pay a lot of money for Devers and a lot of money for Bogarts, and quite frankly, you might not be even better by doing that because there's so many other holes in your baseball team that you need to fill. Who would ever thought the Red Sox would be in this position? It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, certainly is. We'll close out hour number one with a little more Major League Baseball. The San Diego Padres at a big-time scoreless streak that might be behind them. 13 runs yesterday. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Padres got after it yesterday in a major way. 13 runs scored against the San Francisco Giants. Juan Soto on base, as always. Run it back. That's right. Yes. We're in the mix, DRS. We love that.
We are.
Manny Machado, that very first Soto game in San Diego, we talked about what was the takeaway. And to me, it was, this is clearly going to help Manny Machado, and it has. It just feels like you can see the lift there from Machado with the protection provided from Soto always being on base and being in front of him. 3-for-5 yesterday from Machado with a pair of doubles and a pair of RBI. If somebody's going to apply pressure to Goldschmidt, maybe Manny Machado could be a candidate in that way.
Extra credit is what you need, though, K-Dub, because I can't quite figure out, and I know it might have been on the Sports Grid networks here, where somebody was saying, Juan Soto is going to come over to the San Diego Padres. You got to take a bite out of his price on the MVP awards. And another guy who, I mean, good looking young guy was like, you know what? That ain't going to happen here because his batting average isn't low enough. So you see here, Juan Soto at 45-1 to win the MVP. And you're right. Manny Machado at 25-1. They're not going to win that division, but this is nice. 20 runs scored in the last two games. Isn't this what we anticipated when Juan Soto came over? An offensive juggernaut only to be adding with Tatis at a later time. But that good-looking guy, boy, he's got some hot takes. They look good. They do.
Yeah, we said good-looking young guy there, though. So you certainly are. I mean, you're certainly not hitting the back end of that description, right? We
27 and living it.
What are you, from Queens
as well?
How old
are you, anyway? Like, how old are you?
Go ahead. Take a guess. Go ahead. Swim
to the fences. I'm going to go 20. I'm going to go 26.
Yeah, you're close. You're close. I mean, I'll say this, though. No, it wasn't. But you're in the
middle. What is your age?
You're hunting right around the number. I like to. We keep things a little private there. It starts to run down his mind.
It's way too private on your end. Let me. You know what?
He'll be reading my social security number to me.
Moose, help me out here. You listening?
No.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.